Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Welcome to the Vaporsmith's Freedom Hour with Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Rolling.
Nima Fiend.
What's up? We are the Freedom Fiends. Make the homies say ho and the girlies want to scream.
Yeah. So, a whole bunch of little stuff here. Let's see. Our contest ends this Saturday, let's say. And Sunday, we're going to have the drawing for the Freedom Fiends calendar and the runner-up, which is the burned copy of the movie and some discs of Freedom Fiends episodes to share with friends. And this Friday, 2 days from today, is the one-year anniversary of the first Fiends show.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome, man. It's been a whole year since we've been pimping the cause of freedom here for you, for all our loyal Fiends.
Yes. And, yep. And
how many? We got a bunch of entries now. I know at first it seemed like people were reviewing us but not letting us know about it, so we weren't able to include those unless they emailed us back, but I've been seeing a few there on the talk back line, people emailing us and letting us know that they've reviewed us. So
we have six entries so far.
Six entries. Okay.
Yeah.
So still plenty of opportunity for you fiends out there. If you want a cool calendar, just review us on either iTunes, or there was one listener who was confused about the Amazon thing. Actually, review the Guns and Weed movie, which is on Amazon.com.
Yeah, that's what we want them to do. Yep. And, yeah, so there it is. And let's see what else we got. I got a new side project, my new, super group / solo project. It's, the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast at kittyfeet.com. I'll link that in the show notes. And, that's just because I just can't get enough podcasting, and I'm up at 3 or 4 in the morning. So, you know, I find like old retired people who are willing to do interviews, people like me that are old and
right.
Yeah.
Which is why your first interview is Bad Quaker.
Yeah, it's called Tripping with the Bad Quaker.
Yeah. And, what was y'all tripping on?
We were talking about tripping on acid back in the day.
Ah, yeah. I see. You know, that's one drug I never tried. Maybe I should, so I can be like Steve Jobs.
Nah, your consciousness is already open enough. And, you know, basically what it does is it makes people anti-authoritarian.
I see. So it wouldn't do me any good because I'm already there.
Yeah. 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 I always thought that was the one drug that people were the most afraid of. I mean, a Bad Quaker said it well. It's like, you know, pot and alcohol, they just chill out on the couch and watch MTV. And, you know, acid, LSD, psychedelics make people just realize that, like, on a cellular level, authority is wrong. You know, people, it's the one drug that you can take once and it changes you for the rest of your life. And it usually changes you in making you go, all of these systems are lies.
So that's a very good thing. See, I think pot does that to an extent, but I don't think it's because of the pot itself.
It's because it's illegal.
I think a lot of it is because it's illegal.
Yep.
Yeah, I think if they sold pot at Walmart, it wouldn't do as much as it does now to make people realize the system is wrong and evil and silly, because they spend all this money, they steal all this money from us just to fight this war that they say is against a plant, but it's obviously really against the people that are just smoking a bowl or trying to make a little cash.
Yeah, pot being illegal sets up enough of an us and them mentality that government officials can steal money to create a fictitious and, well, a real but immoral war on drugs. Acid goes way beyond that. Acid makes you able to, like, look at one frame of television and peer into the souls and the synapses of politicians and know that they're a different species.
They're a different species?
Yes.
What species? What would you call them?
Lizard people. No, I don't
lizard
know.
Lizard people.
Just subhuman.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of them don't even have good punctuation either.
Homo parasitis.
Homo parasitis. Yes. I love it. So what else we got? We have a link that I'm going to link. I started two new blogs yesterday. One is for the Anarchy Gumbo podcast, which was originally called the Anarchy Supergroup podcast, which is a really stupid name. And as soon as my wife woke up, I said, I was thinking of Anarchy Gumbo. And she said, that's much better. So It may still be listed one or two places as Anarchy Supergroup, but it'll change.
Yeah, Anarchy Gumbo sounds a lot tastier. Plus, when I think of Supergroup, I always think of...
It should be like Stefan Molyneux and, Lou Rockwell sitting around smoking a joint or something.
Yeah, even if it was, I feel like in music, whenever there's a super group, they're never like as good as the artists were individually or in their bands that they got famous from.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, did G-Unit ever do much? No, but 50 Cent was good before that.
Yep. So I set up another one, too. It's one of those free WordPress ones at WordPress.com, and it's just a one-page, one post. And what it is, it's a link to our streaming feed that you should bookmark. So that's posted on a non-Freedom Fiend site, and our streaming feed is on a non-Freedom Fiend site. So since we're experiencing growth and we're occasionally and periodically down for a few hours because we're getting so slammed, which is not a good thing that we go down, but it's a quality problem and we're working on it. But you can have this other bookmark, so when that happens, you can go and this will still be up and you can get your fiends fix.
Oh yeah. Speaking of that, you put up some web stats recently on Facebook. Looking pretty good, man.
In 21 gigs download in one day. 21 gigabytes.
Yeah. And thousands of visitors, was that right?
Yeah. Which is like if you know I'm thinking about like my first website, which actually was kittyfeet.com, the website I'm using for this other podcast, but it's a domain I've had for 20 years and no, 15 years. There weren't domains 20 years ago, but I registered this in 96, almost 16 years.
And that's when you had to write to Al Gore to see if you could get an approval for your domain name. Yeah,
a permission slip from Al Gore because he invented the tubes.
Yes.
You know, back then, I mean, I don't think I had a gigabyte of downloads my first year.
Or a gigabyte probably didn't exist back then.
Right? I know. It would have cost you like as much as a car, you know, if you had that much traffic. The White House website probably had that much traffic in the first year.
Yeah. Just because they stole all the tubes. Or they invented the tubes with stolen money. That was it.
Yeah. There's all sorts of stuff going on now, like... they're having meetings of like the Pentagon saying cyber terror is the next big threat. We need to control the internet. I saw that yesterday. Like Leon Panetta saying, you know, it wasn't Russia Today. It was some other Russian site, some Russian expert warning that America is ripe for a revolution. And that one of the like tipping points of that being possible is the fact that a lot of Marines are now mad at Obama, especially after everyone had to disarm when, you know, they turned the military into a gun-free zone recently.
Right. For the Leon Panetta speech.
Yep.
Yeah. Huh. I wouldn't cite that as one of the building blocks of the revolution, especially the kind of revolution we want to see. I mean, I don't want to see a military coup.
I think they were saying of like, you know, Oath Keepers types might support or not quelch an uprising.
I see.
There's going to be, my stepson is at basic training right now.
Oh yeah. So he's incommunicado to you right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We heard from him 2 days ago, but, we're not going to hear from him for a while. Maybe a tweet or something, but,
kind of odd how that works. And I think that's a good insight into the military. They steal your kid.
Yeah.
And then you're not allowed to talk to anybody.
Who else does that? Who else does that? Cults.
I don't know. Cults, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get brainwashed, get yelled at. And what is it that the drill sergeants always, I mean, it seems like their whole thing, their whole shtick is we're going to break you down because you're a piece of crap. And then we're going to build you back up in, you know, our image, in the image of our God King, President Obama.
I wonder if they're more PC than that now. I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
That's a good question. Yeah. Yeah. We need some good undercover reporting, maybe. But I don't think anybody'd be willing to join the army.
I'm not
just
passing
for that.
Anything. I'm not repeating. No, there's like a church and state type wall between him and me with regards to this podcast.
I wasn't saying that he should do it for us.
I don't want to get anybody in trouble. He's doing his thing. We're doing our thing.
Yeah, I wasn't implying him at all. I was just saying somebody out there.
Anybody who was, you know, if we got any Gulf War veterans out there, let us know. Although more recent than that, probably. If we got any recent vets out there that want to be that want to talk,
yeah, we'd talk. Love to hear it. Yeah,
talk back at freedomfiends.com.
We could even do an interview if you had some interesting stories to tell us. Yeah. We do resurrect the NEMA interviews. I haven't done one of those in a month or in some
or if
weeks,
you have post-traumatic stress that keeps you up in the middle of the night, I could interview you on my nocturnal Anarchy Gumbo podcast.
There you go.
So I got a couple follow-ups from last week. One is for Tribler.com. In the settings, turn off the family filter. The default is on.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to restart the program for changes to take effect. Randall pointed out, while using torrenting stuff, get PeerBlock, which used to be called PeerGuardian, which is from a program from a company called Meth Labs. And it blocks... I've used it before. It blocks basically all the people that want to f*** with you for... I mean, oops, wait, I got to put a marker in for censorship purposes there. And I hit the M hard this time. They want to mess with you for using torrents. Yeah, you can. It blocks... it has an updating list of government IPs and like recording industry IPs that are used to screw people.
Oh, cool. And maybe it could even help with your ISP screwing with you, or is that a negative?
That's a negative. And your ISP, as far as I know, will always be able to tell you are using a torrent program, but they can't see necessarily what you're doing with it. Mm. And, you know, I think more people should have sites. Here's an idea to protect torrenting more. Somebody should set up a popular site that torrents, that only torrents legal torrents, like Creative Commons stuff or, you know, the Guns and Weed movie, we'd let you do it. Stuff that people want to let you do. Stuff that's, you know, from the 1500s and isn't copyright. Things that are in the public domain. Somebody should set up that torrent site because it would dilute the usage of torrenting, of not being just pirate stuff, of being, you know, legal stuff.
Hmm.
You don't like that approach, do you?
I mean, that would solve some problems, but where would you go to get your pirated stuff then? Doesn't solve my problems.
No, it'd be a different site. It'd be...
Right. I know, it'd be a different
LegalTorrents.com or something. And, you know, I mean, it's the same idea as, like, Tor. People that advocate using Tor, the anonymizer website or process software, recommend that you get as many people as possible in your area using Tor who have as diverse as possible of interests. That way, if something is suspected to come from your block using Tor, if you're the only person using Tor, they're going to be able to, by deduction, say, well, it was you. But if, you know, your neighbor is searching how much he loves the government using Tor.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends Live is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com or leave a message after the show at 765-27-FIENDS.
If somebody loves the government, though, I mean, how are you going to sell them on using Tor?
Well, they could be using it to, you know, for instance, neighborhood watch people could set up a anonymous tip line using Tor that would be truly anonymous to narc on people.
Okay. So because you got to think out of the box.
Police set up tip lines where you can anonymously report people, but they're not really anonymous because the police would know your IP address. But if you're using Tor, they wouldn't.
Ah, there you go. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
What happens if you use Tor and then go to Pirate Bay? Would that keep your ISP from knowing about it?
You can't use Tor to use any to do anything other than look at websites with text and images. You can't do any big files with it.
Because it's so slow, because the process of encrypting you takes so long.
It's not the process, and it's not encrypting. It's anonymizing. It's using other servers. Basically, people around the world set up Tor servers a lot of times in their home to let people use, and they don't want to have to host the bandwidth and pay for the bandwidth of people torrenting. So it's disabled for large media files.
Right. Okay. So that there's not too much of a burden on the generous volunteers.
Right.
Got it. Well, that's nice of them, but yeah, I understand. I understand.
Yeah. Somebody put up the whole Guns and Weed movie on YouTube.
Okay, cool. Was it a good encode this time?
No, it wasn't. It was another, and it's got ads on it that we're getting money from.
There you go.
Yeah, but it's another, I can tell by looking at it, they took the 16, they used some program that takes videos off of YouTube and saves them, and they took the 16 really high def quality ones that I put up and squished them down and then re-rendered them to one file. Yeah, it does not look great, but it's there, and it's sound is okay, and
Well, see, that's part of the thing about IP is usually the content producers are professionals. They know how to make things look good. So, I mean, that's sort of a market protection on things like that. I mean, if you want to see the true high quality stuff, go look at our stuff.
Well, that's one reason that one of the most popular torrents types is DVD ISOs, which, they're like 4.5 gigs. They're huge.
Right.
They take
but
a lot
it's,
of
it's the exact DVD
it's
image.
It's a digital exact copy bit by bit of a DVD, including the menus, the extras, everything.
But again, there's a built-in filter. You have to be at least somewhat tech savvy. I mean, Granny's not going to be able to figure that out and download alcohol.
Yeah, but 10-year-old, like 12-year-old kids can.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know why there is a DVD ISO of Guns and Weed out there on BitTorrent. I don't know why these people that want to put stuff up on the internet don't grab that and make a good-looking encode from that. But oh well.
Oh, well, at least they liked our content enough to want to put it out there in the world.
Worms.
I mean, that's what I take from it. I mean, I'm pretty much flattered.
Yep. Yep.
Makes me feel good that somebody liked Guns and Weed enough to where they'd spent a few hours, trying to encode it, uploading it to YouTube and all that.
Yeah. Yep. It's a good thing. So, Spike Lee hates white people.
Are you sure he's not just trying to do the right thing?
Nope, he's a little racist. homunculi.
Is that racist, you saying that? That's racist.
No, homunculi is just a reference to his height. He's I'm a short guy calling him shorter. Homunculi is like a little synthetic human that's tiny, like 2 foot high human that's created by a mad scientist in a jar or something.
Okay, so that's Spike Lee. He was created in a lab by Eric Holder back in his college days.
Yeah. Yep.
Why are you hating on Spike Lee? I mean, Do the Right Thing was a pretty good movie.
Eric Holder and Mr. Nudge. What's the Nudge guy's name?
The Nudge?
The Who's libertarian the Nudge? Paternalist guy. The guy that, the czar of everything.
The czar of everything? Obama?
No. Who's the guy? We talked about him before. God, I can't remember his name. He's the guy that has a theory. He works for Obama, and he has a theory called libertarian paternalism of nudging people into compliance instead of using laws.
Cass Sunstein?
Yeah, it's Cass Sunstein. Cass Sunstein and Eric Holder created Spike Lee in a lab in college when they were smoking. I don't know what, man.
Okay, so basically you're saying this because he tweeted the wrong address for George Zimmerman. It was a different George Zimmerman.
It was some old couple.
Yeah.
And, angry mobs with torches and pitchforks showed up on their doorstep and threatened to kill him.
Yeah. Because, I don't know if that's racist so much as irresponsible.
It's calling for vigilante justice, really, in a way. you know, I mean, even more irresponsible is the so-called new Black Panther Party. Well, I say they're called that, but they are no relation to the original Black Panther Party. Has a bounty on the head of George Zimmerman. Did you know that? Like $10,000, dead or alive or something.
Dead or alive. Really? They have dead or alive on it?
I think so.
Okay.
Even if it's alive, it's, you know, go out and kidnap him and bring him to us so we can do what we want to him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that brings up an interesting discussion, though. I mean, in a stateless society, wouldn't all justice be vigilante under the current terms of the word? I mean, if the definition of vigilante justice is justice without the state or government involvement or official,
I think that there would be
sanction.
I think it would be more, and this gets into really theoretical, like who knows because they won't let us try kind of things. But I think it would be more arbitration, professional organizations that do juries and, you know, do impartial juries and have arbitration type people who've studied and know and are ethical.
Ah, I see. And if one failed to bring somebody to justice, then another would have a crack at it because there'd be a level of competition, theoretically.
Yeah.
Whereas in the current system, the cops decided not to do anything about this guy, and that's pretty much the end of it, right? I mean, they can't go back, can they?
Sure they can. You could be charged. There's no statute of limitations on murder in most states. And murder is almost always a state issue, not a federal issue.
Okay, but here's the deal. Obviously, the police department there is going to have to cave to pressure. So it's not a situation where this one policing organization or this one justice organization, as it would be in LibPair, decided, hey, nothing to see here. Let's move along. We're not going to waste our time on this. In LibPair, theoretically, there'd be other people in that geographic area or, you know, a national company that would be able to do something about it.
Yeah.
If there needs to be something done. I mean, the whole case seems fishy to me, but like you said on our live show, neither of us were there. But obviously, this George Zimmerman guy seems to be somewhat unstable, and he did kill a 17-year-old kid, allegedly. Not even allegedly at this point, but that seems to be what people are saying.
I don't think he's even disputing that.
Right, because his argument is self-defense.
Yeah, it's an affirmative self-defense argument. But, you know, now there's like witnesses that say they saw the kid on top of him, pounding him in the face with his fist. Who knows? Who knows? It's going to be tough to get an impartial. And this would be something where, you know, maybe in LibPair, it would have a big advantage in justice, is that you probably could find people who were impartial. Who knows where they'd be or who they'd be. You know, it would probably involve a change of venue, first of all. But it seems like the venue of anger of this is worldwide now. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really move it to a different part of the country that hasn't heard about it, because everybody has.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, the thing about it is why it's irresponsible for Spike Lee is because it obviously wasn't the right George Zimmerman. Do you think it would have been irresponsible if he somehow found the real George Zimmerman and somehow fact-checked that and made sure it was the guy and then put it out there?
Anonymous does that. It's called dropping docs when you release on the internet people's home address and phone number and where they work and pictures of them and stuff. Anonymous drops docs on people all the time. Like, and I was kind of tickled and amused when they did it to that cop who pepper sprayed the kids in California
the cop who
pepper sprayed a bunch of people. I think his name was Wiener, Sergeant Wiener.
Wiener spray.
In New York City. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedotti from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, strawberry, cherry, vanilla, coffee, minty mint, and cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths at Vaporsmiths.com.
Yeah, so Spike Lee's a racist homunculi.
But I don't think you can use this current action to as an argument for his racism. I mean, he may very well be racist, but I you know.
Here's the thing. When Anonymous dropped docs on those cops that pepper sprayed, there was photographic evidence that everyone saw that those cops were being immoral. There is no evidence proof on camera that George Zimmerman murdered this kid and it wasn't self-defense.
That's true. That's true. But obviously it seems questionable enough to where people want something else to happen other than what already has happened. And I think in LibPair, especially if we're thinking about the way society works, some level of, you know, outrage or social ostracism may be in order here. And I think that all Spike Lee was trying to do was to add to that. So he did it wrong. He was irresponsible. And obviously, he created more harm than good with his action. But I think if he had somehow fact-checked it and put out the real address of George Zimmerman, I wouldn't necessarily be upset with him for it.
I'd be less upset. I mean, a problem with racial issues, though, is that people pile on by proxy, you know, everything that's ever happened racist to them.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You know, if they really care only about this kid, this one guy, where's their outrage at cops arresting black people constantly for smoking weed or
right.
beating black people or our black president bombing brown people in Africa
yeah.
and the Middle
yeah.
East? You know?
Or as Scott Horton says, enabling the Ku Klux Klan of Libya, so to speak, to round up black Africans and throw them in the frickin' zoo and yeah. massacre them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I definitely am on board with that. Obviously, people need to have some sort of reality check. I think it's definitely okay to be upset with the Trayvon Martin thing, but that upsettedness should go so much farther. Yeah. There's so many more horrible things, racially motivated and just governmentally motivated.
And all those people, I wouldn't say all those people, but I would say a majority, I would guess that a majority of those people of colored,
There's nothing wrong with color.
You know, I've heard black people use it. Black isn't even PC. It's African-American, but that's not inclusive. Our president is not African-American. He's American-African. His ancestors were not slaves. He was, his dad's from Africa. So,
yeah,
I would guess that the majority of people screaming for George Zimmerman's head on a stick are also going to be screaming to reelect Obama in the next few months.
Yep, yep. And I bet some of them are screaming for us to send AFRICOM more troops to Africa to find Kony
and
or whatever.
In the process, we'll kill far more innocent black people than this one person who died.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely true. So the point of the story,
as a colored man yourself.
Priorities,
as a brown person yourself.
See, I guess that's why I always like
colored. George Zimmerman was brown. He's half Mexican.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I looked at his picture. He doesn't look like your run-of-the-mill white cracker honky.
I know.
But obviously he was a hater because he wanted to join the police department and called 911 for dogs barking too loud.
Basketball. Kids enjoying themselves on a sunny day.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, what was up with this guy? He's only like 28. He acts like a curmudgeon-y 70-year-old. I don't understand it. Watching too many reality shows about state troopers in Alaska, I guess.
Yeah, on the Statovision.
On the Statoscope. Yeah.
So you're going to say the reality of the moral of the story is?
I think the moral of the story is, let's look at the real villain here. I mean, the guy, he was a statist. He wanted to be part of the state. He wanted to be part of the enforcement arm. And so he took it upon himself to act like that and to use violence to solve what he perceived as a problem. So the real enemy, and I think that Democrats and people who are calling for this guy to be arrested and lynched or whatever they're calling for, should realize what the root cause of it is. And it's people using violence to solve social problems, which is in essence the state. And they need to take a hard look at themselves and realize, hey, maybe I should just withdraw my consent. If I hate that this poor little 17-year-old black kid was killed, maybe I should not vote for Obama. Maybe I should not tell people to pay their taxes. Maybe I should not support my local police department.
Yeah.
That's the moral of the story, to me at least.
Yep. Worms.
Worms.
So, do we have a ruling on Obamacare yet? Has that come through? It's supposed to come through around now.
I checked on CNN about an hour ago, and they were still waiting on it.
Can you check now? I don't have a second computer open.
You want me to check?
Yeah, just look at Google. It'll be the first headline on Google.
Yep, I'll Google news it. Because the consensus seemed to be – or not the consensus, but there seemed to be a lot of people thinking that the individual mandate was pretty much toast. So I'm just going to Google News Supreme Court. Because
the beef Supreme Court,
the beef Supreme Court. Okay. Looks like they've closed their arguments, but we're still waiting on a verdict. That was from Fox News 29 minutes ago.
All right. Well, and that's maybe we'll have a verdict by the end of this podcast. So
we may.
So other news of judges being brave. Michigan militia members cleared of charges that accused them of plotting war against the government. That's a brave judge, man, to rule that.
It's a totally brave judge, yeah, because I could have seen that. You know, I'd pretty much forgotten about it. I was just thinking, oh, well, all the feds really need is what they have already. And most judges will just say, yeah, these guys, they said hateful things about cops. You know, they trained with guns and explosives, so they're going away for a long, long time. But luckily, the judge said something to the effect of, you know, just speech and just talking about things and even training for them. If they didn't have a specific plan for sedition or rebellion, you know, that charge is empty.
Yeah, and, you know, they had two undercovers in this organization, the feds did, that were goading them, you know, kind of entrapment, like find someone that's, you know, find a structure that's not built on solid ground and then push it further. These people were nutty. They believed things that we think are nutty, but
yeah, they were a little tinfoil hatty to me, but you know, their heart's in the right place. They knew authority was evil. They knew the government was evil. At least that's what it seems to be reading this. They thought some weird things like, you know, the government is injecting you with microchips whenever you get a flu shot, stuff like that. But
yeah. Yeah.
But it's important that, you know, and I don't understand. Why do you think the judge threw it out? You think there's just a case of getting a good judge every now and then?
Yeah, there are some judges that actually more or less respect the Constitution. I hate to use that as a, boy, that's good. But in the grand scheme of things, that's good. You know, one that comes to mind is the judge in Wyoming who was a really conservative, you know, right-wing guy who upheld Bill Ayer's right to speak in Wyoming. You know, a lot of people were calling for his head on a stick for speaking at the college here, even though it turned out, you know, initially it was like, well, I don't want my tax money going for that. And it's like, really, but what do you want your tax money going for? I was even on that bandwagon, and I'm ashamed to say it. But, you know, life's a process.
I remember that. That's when you were watching a lot of Fox News.
We grow with time. But
we do.
You know, and then it was either they changed it or it came out that it was funded by an anonymous private donor, who I'm guessing was probably George Soros, yelling in Esperanto with a bullhorn. But But, you know, and then it was like the college denied him to speak there because a bunch of their donors pulled out. And, you know, then he ended up speaking at a private hall and people were still trying to block it. At that point, I was not trying to block it. But they had a quick hearing and some, you know, right wing Republican judge in Wyoming said, I don't like what this guy has to say, but the First Amendment gives him the right to say it. And it went on.
Yeah.
So, you know, occasionally you get a judge who's actually read the Constitution, which is mind blowing to me. The dissenting opinions that have come so far from the three women on are there three women or four women on the Supreme Court? There's three, right? There's Bader Ginsburg and the two Obama appointees.
Kagan. Yeah,
all three of
I can only name two, but there's probably
Burrito
more.
Supreme and Ginsburg. But all three of them have issued statements that basically come out. You know, well, we have to do this. It's constitutional because it's the right thing to do. And they're like, and I'm like, no, that is not how it works.
That is not how it works. But see, the sad thing is, even though you do get justices that seem to do the right thing every now and then, we have a system where, you know, the supreme law of the land is decided by a group of nine people wearing dresses.
Nine dudes and chicks wearing dresses.
Yeah, and I don't understand how we can think we have some sort of great society with all sorts of checks and balances when in the end, if these nine guys consider something unconstitutional, it is, and if they consider something constitutional, then it is. Yeah, you can appeal, but taking something to the Supreme Court takes years or decades to get it.
I'm surprised this one went so quickly to the Supreme Court. I really thought they were going to wait.
I kind of am too, but even quickly, it took what?
Two years? Thought they were going to stall it until after Obama's reelection.
Yeah, yeah. So the other thing is, you know, if they strike down the individual mandate, to me, every law is an individual mandate, right? I mean, if they say it's unconstitutional to force somebody to buy something, I mean, shouldn't it then be unconstitutional to force any individual
not
to
buy something like herbs? You know,
right? Not herbs, buy something to quote unquote buy government services by paying your local taxes. It seems like they have a vested interest to not knock it down, because I think the reasoning behind calling the individual mandate unconstitutional or even immoral is the same thing that we believe, that, you know, you shouldn't force people to make decisions with their finances. You shouldn't force them into one way or the other.
Yeah. You know, something I forgot about when we were talking about the militia thing is there's no mention of that militia being, what's the word? Not found guilty. There's no mention of that on the Southern Poverty Law Center site. They hate to lose, man.
Of course they do. Well, they're also big stinky liars. So, and they lie by omission on a number of things. So they're not even gonna mention that. I don't see it at all, except to say that, you know, maybe they'll come out later and try to dig up some more dirt on these guys and say, you know, the government really dropped the ball. These guys should be re-prosecuted or taken on under some other charges.
Yeah.
Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. When you're not busy spying on your neighbors or squinting at everyone, tell anyone who will listen why more government is a good thing. You'll get a warm and fuzzy feeling demanding more taxes and arguing in favor of gun control while militarizing our police, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
That is so square. Check out the additional Freedom Fiends show, Freedom Fiends Live, every Sunday on the LRN.FM streaming feed or satellite radio.
Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker inside a mountain near an undisclosed location in the rural Wild West of the occupied states of America.
Freedom Fiends Live expands on the Fiends weekly Wednesday podcasts, but now we're kicking the hornet's nest live. Talk back to the back talkers every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time. From the makers of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, Freedom Fiends Live. Call in soon before we get droned.
So I guess we got to wait for the breaking news for the Supreme Court thing. So you want to move on?
Yeah, sure.
I saw this video. I stumbled on this video on YouTube. Somebody posted it on Facebook. It was called Breastfeeding at 8. It was a kid who was breastfeeding at 8. I didn't look at it. I just read the comments, and I'm not posting it. I'm just mentioning it. It's on YouTube. It has 30,000 dislikes and, you know, a couple hundred likes. My favorite comment, like, this really summed it up for me, was, well, that's enough YouTube for today.
Yeah, yeah. Like the whole, I've gotten to this part of YouTube again.
So, speaking of YouTube, did you get to see that video, that song called Weapons Factory?
Band. Old punk tune. Made the year I was born, 1984. Yep,
by the band Wards.
Or something like that, right?
Yep.
Yeah, what did you think was most relevant about that,
well,
Michael?
First of all, that it's all still happening. I mean, the song is from a band called Wards from Burlington, Vermont, and General Dynamics had their General Dynamics Armament and Technical Products Division of GE in that town. Like the main economy of that town at that time was a web, you know, a bomb factory for the United States government. And this song is like two chords. It's really repetitive, and it's almost like rap. Like the guitar, bass, and drums are almost playing a loop live. You know, they're just playing it like, it sounds like a broken record, and then the chant is just weapons factory, weapons factory. Yeah. I think the relevant thing is that song is as relevant then as it was now, and
I would say more relevant.
It has a line in it about, you know, you work all day building bombs to put food on the table. You never think about what the bombs are used for. I think that's the summation of that song.
Yeah, yeah, really powerful. There's a lot of people out there. I mean, the defense contracting industry is huge. I mean, I think that's definitely by far the most used government spending program, is paying people like General Dynamics, GE, to build weapon systems that often sometimes they're just big boondoggles like the F-35 and they can't get off the ground. And when they are successful, all they do is destroy things that didn't need to be destroyed so they can steal more of your money to rebuild the school or rebuild the bridge in Afghanistan or whatever the case is.
I'm going to put that song at the end of this cast, even though we said we'd never do that again.
I don't think these guys even exist anymore.
I wrote to whoever put the video up, which I think is the engineer that recorded that song, and asked his permission, never heard back. So I've done my due diligence, and I really don't think we're going to get a "you don't own this" notice on. It's too obscure. It's too here's my history with that.
Yeah, I think there were 17 views of the video.
Here's my but my friend John Beers gave me an MP3. He took off the vinyl. Here's my history with that song. The year you were born, actually when you were one, it was 1985. I was living in Charlottesville, Virginia. I was hanging out with my friend John Beers, who did a punk rock radio show from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. on the college radio station. And you know, nice. I've always had insomnia or always been nocturnal. So I was down there drinking coffee and hanging out with him in the middle of the night. And he played this song. It was on blue vinyl, a single on blue vinyl. And
yeah, I saw that in the comments. What is that a kind of special kind of vinyl,
color,
or is it just
blue?
The color?
Yeah, not all vinyl is black. There were specialty colors for collectors that would, you know.
Right, like the scab color you have.
It was actually gold, but scab colored vinyl for the Rolling Scabs. John Beers played this, and I heard it once in my life, and it has been stuck in my head for 27 years. Or, no, wait, how old are you? 28. Yeah, 28 for 27
now.
Years, this
Don't
has been
me.
Stuck in my head. So when you were breastfeeding, I was hanging out in the middle of the night in a punk rock radio station listening to The Wards with John Beers. We're still friends. And it was kind of funny because John Beers, at that point, one of his hobby goals was to have music from a punk band from every state in America. And in 1985, that was quite a challenge. You know, you couldn't just go on MySpace and get them all like you could now, or Facebook. There wasn't a punk band that had released vinyl in every state. So he reduced it to vinyl or cassette. And he finally got... the Wards were the last one he got, because they're, you know, Vermont's really small. There weren't a lot. There was probably one punk rock band in Vermont, and he wrote to them and sent them $3, and they sent him this blue vinyl. And I was in the radio station the night he got the 50th state for his collection. You know, old ladies collect spoons of the 50 states. John Beers collected punk rock of the 50 states. And he was so happy. He's like, I finally got my 50th state punk rock, and here it is, The Wards from Burlington, Vermont. He played this song once, and it's been like haunting my dreams since. And I didn't even know the name of the band. And the other day I just searched it online. Somebody put a video up of it, and John Beers was up in the middle of the night and saw that I posted this and was like, oh yeah. And we started chatting about it with some other people, and they were like, oh, this song's great. Yeah, he was like, yeah, I have a 320K MP3 of it. I'll send it to you. And he did.
nice. Yeah. And it's almost, I mean, I guess it's not prophetic, but I guess it is in a way, since, you know, it's gotten so much worse now. But the defense contracting thing has been going on for a while. Even Dwight Eisenhower warned people about it.
Warned against the military industrial complex.
Yeah. And
he was
just
a general,
worse,
wasn't he?
Worse.
I mean, he wasn't a pacifist. He was, I think he was a five-star general. I think he was one of the only five-star generals, because generals generally go up to four-star, but I think he gave himself
He led the European campaign in World War II, didn't he? Yeah. And while MacArthur had the Pacific. And this was interesting, too, speaking of Eisenhower and MacArthur. I was listening to anti-war radio the other day, and apparently they were both against nuking Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah.
And so if the people who make the argument that it was military necessary and all these innocent people had to be vaporized in their homes, no, it wasn't. The person leading the campaign didn't want to do it. But the president and the Secretary of War, Stimson, just wanted to show off their new toy that they had spent millions or billions of dollars developing and, you know, basically pull out their dick in the international dick measuring contest and say, look what we got.
Yeah.
And because of that, because of ego, all these people had to be massacred.
Square and evil. So I heard a great term, normal school. Normal school is a term from around 1900 that was a school that was for training public school teachers. And it was called a normal school because teachers were expected to teach and enforce the norms.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that makes
norm.
Sense.
Norm!
Yeah,
norm!
Like from Cheers. No, I remember being in high school, you know, and I think the points when I was most status was like when I was in high school and like right after I got out of high school. And I remember me and some of my college buddies were making fun of the homeschoolers who came to college and were sitting there in UT. Like one of my good friends had a roommate who was homeschooled. And it seems like back then, all the arguments I remember hearing against homeschool were, well, you know, they just don't know how to function in society. You know, that's what most of school's for anyway, is to teach you how to interact with people and be social. But it seems like now that I think about it, those kind of things they teach you how to interact are how to be a good little status citizen.
Yeah. Square, man. Square.
So it seems like that's probably what these
normal schools
teachers were learning. Yeah. Yep. How to be normal in the sense of have a student loan debt and get a normal job, pay your taxes, pay your mortgage, live in one place.
Be a good little robot soldier in the office or in the field. You know what they say, man? War is no picnic, but soldiers often eat outdoors.
I don't get it.
It's a line from Peep Show. You know, people always say war is no picnic, but the guy says, and the guy who says this is a amateur military historian, and he's like, but I suppose soldiers do often eat outdoors, you know, like a picnic. Right. All right, man, let's save the file.
Yep.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, so no word from the Supreme Court yet. They're still hemming and hawing. I did just see on Fox, what's his name? Who's the black guy that's in that's made fun of? The Reverend? Boondocks.
Al Sharpton.
Yeah, I saw Al Sharpton on TV calling.
What was he saying? We need to steal more money to pay for diabetes medication.
No, he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about Zimmerman's head on a pike.
On a pike, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'd rather see him go after some cops, man. I remember when I was living in Austin, like every few months, cops killed some dude, usually a black dude or a Mexican dude. So, I mean, fight the power. Chuck D told y'all damn near 20 years ago.
I know.
You couldn't get it through your thick skulls yet.
And Spike Lee was filming it and masturbating.
He was, but I guess he didn't get the whole point.
What's the point?
I mean, I'll explain the point. You know what the point is.
Testify, brother.
You got to fight The man isn't, you know, Joe Schmo, who's a freaking neighborhood watchman, although he's part of the problem.
Because he wanted to be. He's a wannabe man.
He's a wannabe man. And that was where the problem comes in, is because he wanted to be a cop.
He's a toy. He's a toy man. Go after the real man.
Yeah, exactly. He's a straw man. You know, he's part of the problem. But like you say, the Occupy protesters, they're chasing a shadow. They're fighting the shadow of the real problem. The real problem isn't Wall Street. It's the system that enables Wall Street. The real problem's in D.C. The real problem's in your state legislature, even your city council. The real problem is putting these dudes and women on the dais and letting them decide what we do. And if we don't do it, then they send people come out. And if those people come out and you'd resist them, then they cap you. That's the real problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And Occupy Wall Street and the people screaming for Zimmerman's head on a pike, they're asking the same system that enables all the hell to try to minimize the hell. Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah, they're asking Satan to turn down the furnace a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, the other analogy I can think of is they're asking the slave master to whip everyone less hard and one bad slave more hard. You know, and I'm sure Al Sharpton would say I'm racist for saying that, but... You know,
he says everything's racist.
If he wasn't a toy cop mofo, he'd know. He'd know the truth, man.
He would.
He's
a
toy cop. Do the kids still say toy for fake?
No, I haven't really heard that.
You haven't heard that?
Is that what they used to say back in the day?
Yeah.
Mr. OG Michael
Mr.
Dean?
Mr. MCMD in the Love Posse?
Yeah.
Of course, my government name is Michael W. Dean.
Your government name.
I like all that right. in Double XL. Is it Double XL or how do you say that magazine?
Double XL, yeah.
Yeah. In Double XL, when they have, I think they call it freshmen or something, when they have like profiles on new artists.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It always says, you know, their rap name, and then under that it says government name, and it's got their government name. I always like that about the black community. Government name.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if Indians think of that, too, because, you know, a lot of them, their last names are like Washington or whatever, you know, from when the government threw them all on reservations and made them get white
and
man
named them after presidents.
Yeah.
What is it? What's that? This is a joke. What did Washington, Lincoln and Jefferson have in common? They were the last white guys with those names.
Yep. Yep. And now it's all black people and Indians who have those as last names.
Yep.
That's racist, Nima.
That's racist.
That's racist.
Nima Vidati, your government name. Mm-hmm. So we totally missed the boat when we were talking about Sweden moving towards a cashless economy recently. We totally forgot why this happens is because they want to be able to have no black market, and they think that'll do it. Although it really it just pushes people into barter more.
Yep, people into barter or using other currencies or a number of things. I mean, there's no way the state can ever truly shut down the black market. I mean, that's what the black market is, in essence. It's a way to get around the state.
You know, I bet a lot of drug dealers would take a gold chain in payment, but I'll bet they wouldn't know what to do with a coup grand. They wouldn't know what it's worth.
I don't know. Maybe the dumber ones, more savvy ones would.
They take guns.
They take guns.
Yeah. So if you get rid of the cash market, you're gonna make everyone just trade guns for everything,
or bullets. I've got a song I'm working on where I talk about using bullets as currency. 22 nickels and 9 mil quarters.
Yeah.
I guess a 50 cal round would be your $2 bill. Or more than that. How
$10.
Much does it cost for a fifth? Is it like $4 bucks, $5?
The cheapest depends you can find them, and this is usually reloaded, is $4 or $5 each.
That's pricey.
You know, if you go into a sporting goods store and buy a box of 5 of them, it's going to cost you about $50.
But I don't know. This whole thing about the state trying to move to a cashless economy, I think it's just farting in the wind if their goal is to get rid of the black market economy. Remember that Christiane Amanpour special we were talking a few casts back? You know, that's the new trend. That's the new growth area is the black market economy. And in the next 10 or 20 years, I forget what the stat was, the majority of workers in the world will be involved in black market activity. And it's because governments are clamping down more and more with more regulations on the real economy, the market doesn't stop. It's like water. It'll just find a way around whatever obstruction you're trying to put in its place.
You know what the five biggest above boards employers or, you know, non-black market employers in the world are by number of employees? Number five is the British National Health System. Number four is McDonald's. Number three.
Wasn't in the top five, the Defense Department was there?
Yeah, the United States Defense Department's number one, and the Chinese Army is number two. I don't remember number three. Walmart is number three.
Okay.
Did I say Walmart before?
I don't think you said Walmart yet, no.
Yeah, so it's the National Health, McDonald's, Walmart, the Chinese Army, and the American Army, the American military.
And of course, the statists would always – they try to use this argument that if you tear the government down, you're going to lose all these jobs. And they would probably point to that as part of their argument.
But most of those people that argue that also want to, like, outlaw McDonald's and Walmart, too.
No, because it's right-wingers, too. I remember interviewing – I think it was the president or some spokesman for the Young Conservatives of Texas – Texans – wait, yeah, Young Conservatives of Texas, back when I went to University of Texas. I was interviewing him about their stance on the Iraq War and war in general. And his argument was, think about all the jobs. Think about all the people who feed their families on this. And the way I think about it is, these aren't jobs that are necessary. You know, they're not a net gain to the economy.
My answer to that is, think about all the people that supported their families by having slaves pick the cotton.
Yeah, and that's a really great argument.
And if you really want to piss them off, say, what about all those poor slaves who'd be without a place to live?
Right. And yeah, Stefan Molyneux likes to bring that up a lot too. He says, I don't care what'll happen after slavery. You know, people used to make that argument back in the day that, well, we don't understand how an economy would work. How would we be able to have cheap enough clothes if we don't have slaves to pick the cotton or do whatever? And the point is, somebody will figure it out. We don't care. We can't keep up immoral society just because somebody lacks the creativity to build a business model that doesn't work on immorality.
Worms. You know, I mean, governments drive people to black economies, to market economies. I mean, this is just the latest in a list of 1,000 I could come up with in an afternoon. Justice Department may sue Apple and publishers on price of ebooks. They're charging too much, they say.
Yeah, I saw that. And in my head, I'm thinking, how ridiculous is this? I mean, why are we paying the frickin' Justice Department to do things that the market takes care of itself anyway?
Better and more ethically.
Better, yeah. If you're upset with what Apple's charging
you. Or just ethically. Not even more ethically, just ethically.
Right. Yeah, good point. Because the Justice Department is in no way ethical.
The Injustice Department and the Attorney General.
The Attorney General. I love it. But yeah, I feel like if you want cheap ebooks, there's millions of places you can get them online.
My ebooks are free. User's Manual for the Human Experience. Search it online. Go to the michaelwd.com website. It's not only a good book. I mean, if you go on Amazon, there's like 27 reviews from people who say, this is the most important book I've ever read. This changed my life for the better more than anything I've ever read. You know, that's better than a Harry Potter book. Go get that for free. Although the Justice Department, if they noticed it, they'd probably say I'm not charging enough and throw me in jail.
Right. And that's how they get you. It's the catch-22. It's either collusion or price gouging. You charge too much, it's collusion. You charge too little, you're price gouging. So they're going to get you some way.
What is it Boston Tea Party says? You go to jail if your car doesn't have a muffler or if your gun does.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They don't care, man. They just want to have their bases covered and be able to harass whoever they want to harass.
If your car is too loud or your gun's too quiet.
You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange and marked follow. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time.
I mean, the other thing is, ebooks they're so easy to publish. I mean, it's not like you have to have a monopoly on them. It's not like somebody could really get away with a monopoly just because it's such an open source thing. It's all online. Like you say, you publish your ebook for free. Any writer can bypass the publisher completely. They can publish directly on Amazon
People keep telling me to put mine up as Kindle, and I keep meaning to get around to it, and I will. And without saying what you do for a living, in full disclosure, you do have some connection to the ebook industry.
I do, indeed. So, but I'm not advocating one way or the other here.
Telling little old ladies how to view them on devices given to them by their grandchildren.
Exactly. Telephone. Yeah, yeah. And even talking to some writers who write dirty or girl porn, I guess.
Yeah. Didn't somebody ban girl porn recently? Was it? Oh, PayPal won't take payments for erotica anymore.
Ah, that's it. Which is Square, man. But, I mean, it's their own business. They can decide what they want to do. If they want to run it like that, fair enough.
Do you know the term ringtone rapper?
Ah, yeah, yeah. People who make catchy songs that are very simple melodically and melodic so that, you know, they sound good on a ringtone. Yeah,
they sell way more ringtones than they do downloads CDs or...
Somebody like Soulja Boy comes to mind.
Somebody wants to use an excerpt of one of our things on a ringtone. We got a comment today. Someone said, like, oh my God, your podcast sound too creamy and wonderful. Stop. And then they said, how serious are you about the Creative Commons? Because I have a friend who really wants to make a ringtone out of the on your knees, you dirty hippie from the movie.
Tell him to go for it, man. I'd love that.
If we can have one. And they're not making money on it. And if they want to figure a way to make money on it and cut us in, let us know too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you always have that thing where after a certain amount, if you're actually really making money, you know, call us up, cut us in.
Yeah. That's
what
we do with our t-shirts is, you know, go ahead and sell them and, you know, make enough to buy a bag of weed and pay your expenses for startup. And then after that, I mean, make enough to buy 25 rounds of 50 cal ammo and then hit us up and start tithing. Bitch.
Tithing. Bitches. There you go.
Tithing.
Tithing. I like to your that. Mat. I like the concept of tithing because at least it's voluntary.
We're not your libertarian masters. You're not going to go to libertarian hell if you piss us off.
Right, right. Well, even the concept of God and tithing, I like it much more. I think it's much more moral than the state because in the sort of mythos, I guess would be the word I would use, you choose to render that. If you don't, then you might suffer some cosmic consequences or whatever. But nobody's going to come to your house and point a gun and or actually take the money right out of your paycheck like the government does.
Yeah. And, you know, at one point, the Holy Roman Catholic Church was almost doing that. They were the government at one point, but not anymore. They still want to be. I mean, religious people... in all nations, try to use the government guns occasionally or frequently.
Yeah. Yeah. Not all religious people. It's important to make that distinction. Right. But there is...
pretty much all religions, all churches try to do it at some point or have in the last 100 years.
Not the Quakers.
There you go.
or maybe they have. I don't know. You'll have to talk to Ben about that.
Oh, Ben was telling me all about Quakers in that episode. He was telling me about how they used to go to the Protestant services naked.
Really? What was the reasoning behind that?
Just it was feels a protest good? Because the Protestants were stripping them naked in public to punish them. So they said, "F it, we'll just go to your services on Sunday naked." I like the Quakers.
Yeah, they're interesting. Well, because they have individuality and free will built into their philosophy, which is a good starting point. You know.
Although I have a feeling that Ben is a weirdo, even for among the weirdos, you know, is probably considered a little freewheeling, too freewheeling.
That's why he calls himself the bad Quaker.
The bad Quaker. There you go. So anti-whaling group gets drones. Did you see that?
I saw the article you linked to me. It was just them, like, grandstanding and boasting, the one I read at least, about how they were chasing the Japanese whalers. I didn't catch the mention of the drones. Do you want to go ahead and explain that to us?
Oh, it was a radio control plane with a camera. But yeah, and I'm not into anti-whaling groups. I mean, I think that they're basically piracy, but I'm interested in anything that pisses off governments.
And where the government's pissed, I imagine there were governments pissed off about this.
Yeah, and this anti-whaling group actually flies a pirate flag too, which is kind of interesting.
So they admit that they're pirates.
Yeah.
Now.
And not the good kind of internet type.
Right, right. Now, how do you feel about this anti-whaling group that goes around harassing Japanese whalers, which I guess are in essence just businessmen, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Intrigued. I don't support them, but right. I'm intrigued by the story. I'm intrigued of the story of anybody who's armed in a boat, declaring their own sovereignty, having their own interpretation of law, and being condemned by governments and the UN.
Right. Right. I kind of guess I feel like part of the problem with whaling, if there is any, which I guess there is, I'm not sure. I'm not super well researched on this, so don't take me as an authority. But I feel like the issue is a problem of the commons, right? I mean, it seems like if a company could own a certain stretch of water, or at least the surface of the water, because I think inherent in the concept of ownership is you have to actually be able to, you know, develop it or homestead it in some way. So I don't think they'd have any claim to the bottom of the ocean unless they built like Sea Lab or something underwater. But I feel like
James Cameron went to the lowest point in the ocean this week. Did you know that?
Did he? But he didn't build a lab there or nothing.
No, but he...
he was a visitor, not a homesteader.
He built a pod that he got into and went to the bottom of the Marianas Trench.
Oh, wow. That's pretty awesome.
Which is where Death Clock records one of their albums.
Right. They record it on water because it sounds clearer.
Because it's for fish. Yeah, they use water as the recording medium.
Yeah.
And the album is only for fish.
Yeah.
So when they get sued because someone dies while listening to it as a result of the power of the music... They say, it says right here on the CD, only for fish. And they win, and Death Clock wins the case.
Yeah. I love Death Clock. But my point was that if a company could lay claim or say, you know, this we own all the whaling rights to the stretch from nautical mile A to nautical mile B and everything in between or whatnot, and they would have the incentive to only get enough whales to where the population could still thrive. And, you know, theoretically, the whales could just stop going there. I mean, whales are pretty smart. You know, they could avoid it if they wanted to.
You know, there's on the White House website, there's this, we throw a crumb to the slaves and pretend to let them address their grievances. Now that it's illegal, you know, I'm wondering if when this healthcare thing, if it comes in that it's struck down, I think there's going to be rioting in the streets. And I'm wondering if only the side that's against it, the Tea Party people types, are going to get arrested and test this new law selectively. You know, with this new law of, like, you can't protest anywhere the Secret Service is, I mean, there's going to be no more Ian Freeman walking up to Santorum and saying, do you Google yourself? There's going to be no more wheeling the dying cancer patient up to Romney and saying, you know, having him say, do you want me to not be able to get relief from marijuana? There's going to be none of that.
Yeah, the Secret Service would tackle the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah, but one of the things on the White House website is you can start a petition, and if the petition is approved, they put it up and people can sign it. So probably so they can gather intel on who believes what. But, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, it's really sad. I mean, like, the petition to reverse the indefinite detention had, like, you know, 1,200 signatures. And the petition to, you know, increase more government control of healthcare had, like, 1 million signatures. Mm-hmm. One of the petitions on there was, like, the government needs to use their guns more. Well, that wasn't the wording. There need to be more laws and enforcements on protecting endangered animals. And I'm thinking, like, what a square response to it. My response is legalize doing whatever you want ethically with any animal you want, and it'll take care of this. Really would. The free market would take care of this, as they say, because any animal that has any use, and all animals have some use financially to somebody, would be bred, so they'd never go extinct.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm definitely aware of that argument, and it makes sense, but I don't think that satisfies a lot of animal rights activists. They would probably say something to the effect of, well,
that's abusing them.
animals are people too, you know, would be the essence of the argument.
Yeah, the slaves would say, but you're treating those animals like slaves by taking their eggs. We need the government to enslave us more so they can protect those eggs.
Right, right. And so I don't know what the solution is, but I know what the solution isn't. And the solution isn't more laws and treating people like animals, because you've got it backwards. Yes, if you believe animals deserve rights, that's fine. But then don't use the government to treat people like they're the animals. You know, if the government infringes on our rights in order to protect animals, then that's a net loss, I think. I think as a society and as a species, we do have to hold our own self-interest above those of animals. And, you know, I think the free market does take care of this in other ways too. I think if you are an animal rights activist, and there are, you know, there's sanctuaries. There's Farm Sanctuary, which rescues animals who, you know, left the farm or whatever, and they give them good lives. And there's no problem with that. In a free society, you could have large tracts of lands or nature preserves or co-ops where people all voluntarily fund these kinds of
things. A lot of hunters are conservationists. I mean, Ted Nugent is a conservationist.
Think of Ducks Unlimited. I mean, that's a very popular thing. And
they want to protect and grow ducks so they can shoot more of them.
Right, right. And things like that seem to be able to take care of it. And I guess the other thing that really irks me is all of these things, like the Fish and Hogs Department that you mentioned, or Fish and Wildlife. Really, do we really place that much faith in bureaucrats that they can manage an ecosystem? I mean,
that's playing God in a way that isn't possible. You know why we call it Fish and Hogs? Because DJ and I wanted to get a hedgehog in California and found out they were illegal because of the California Department of Fish and Game. Mm-hmm. So we called them the Department of Fish and Hogs. In Wyoming, it's Game and Fish.
Game comes
first in Wyoming.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
Popped the top on one of my legal drugs here.
So, I have a new macho libertarian flash answer when people say, what about the roads?
All right.
I say, you know, think of the children. What about the roads? I say, roads kill children. Children die in traffic accidents. Without the roads, the children would be better off.
There you go. Yeah, man, I kind of feel like with roads, kids would be safer. I feel like, you know...
With roads? What do you mean?
With free market roads. Sorry, I should have clarified.
Well, you're just so – you don't even have to say it because you're such an anarchist.
I'm such an anarchist.
When you say roads, you mean with our roads.
Yeah, and in my mind, everything's libpar already.
the big science fiction novel we're living in our head.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Call me delusional if you want, but I don't care.
You're delusional.
Yeah. But, you know, why do we have to have a one-size-all-fits road anyway? I mean, why do kids have to use the same pathways as, you know, car tuners or people who drive little Honda Civics with all kitted out, you know? I mean, why can't we have one road where you can go however fast you want and one road for the old ladies reading their e-books while they drive? And
I've been on the Autobahn. I've been on the Autobahn in Germany. I've never driven on it, but I've been a passenger on it. It's awesome. It feels safer than American roads somehow, but it's like people are going, you know, 100, 105, 115. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I kind of feel like how socialist and egalitarian is it to have one road for everybody and to expect everybody to follow the rules? Like we all have the same driving skills. Is that true? Does anybody really believe that everybody is the same level of driving as everybody else?
No, so they have to dumb it down for everybody, which reminds me of this great quote by Mark Twain that says, censorship is like saying you can't have a steak because a baby can't chew it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's this kindergarten mentality. I mean, why can't the people who can take turns at 150 take those turns at 150 if they want? Why?
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, people who are good drivers aren't going to put other people in danger. It's really the people who drive slow that are a danger. I was driving the other day, and here in the Tri-Cities, we have this one stretch of what they call freeway, where the speed limit is 60 miles an hour, which to me is painfully slow, and I never, ever drive the speed limit on it. Sometimes I get stuck in parts where there's a cluster of like 5 to 10 cars all going the speed limit, and they're so close to each other. They are like in a cluster to where if somebody makes a mistake, they're all going to be in a pileup. They're all going to get in a wreck. And I think that that makes things unsafe. When there's a speed limit, people end up congregating in these piles of cars all driving 60.
Yeah, and it seems so weird to me. Like it seems unnatural when I'm driving in a stretch of Arizona or something and, you know, you can't see a car for a mile. And then there's this chunk of like 20 cars all slowing each other down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's more unsafe than people driving at the speed they want, because then things work themselves out naturally and people get to where they want to be. They get alone. They don't have cars around them. And if they make a mistake, they're not going to hurt anybody but themselves, which they have the right to do. It's their own personal freedom and their own personal responsibility. But when you have socialized roads, well, we're all forced into an unnatural system, and that seems like what we have now.
Speaking of personal responsibility, is it too soon yet to read your Take This Job and Shove It letter on the air?
No, man, it's been almost six, put an M there. It's been almost six months now. So yeah. Yep.
While you look for that, I'm gonna talk about something. I got an email the other day from a woman, a young lady who's in journalism school in New York City, who wanted to interview me because I co-wrote that book, YouTube, An Insider's Guide to Climbing the Charts. And she wrote me and said, "Hi, I'm in journalism school and I have an assignment to write something, interview somebody who's in new media." And I'm like, boy, I'm thinking that's a really square assignment. You know, for journalism school, which doesn't surprise me.
Why do you think it's square? I think it's good that they're seeking out new media.
Because in 1996, when I went back to college, I wrote a paper that actually won me a scholarship at community college in San Francisco called "The Internet: The Future Is Now," and that article is basically what she's trying to write now. When I wrote that article in 1996, it was already out of date and unhip and not news.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like on news radio where Bill McNeil decides to do a radio editorial on how hip-hop is noise pollution or something.
Right, you know? Right. It's the gatekeeper school trying to act like the gate still is relevant.
Yeah,
when we've already decided not to want to go to whatever's behind the gate, we don't want to even go there. We've got our own society where the gate is irrelevant now.
And on news radio in 1996, his station manager tells him, "Well, Bill, if you were to go into a time machine and go back 10 years, you might be one of the first 1,000 reporters to break this story."
Right. Okay, so yeah, I found my...
So this girl wrote to me and asked me, and I said, "Well, you should interview Alan, the guy I co-wrote the book with," and I CC'd him, and he wrote back, and, you know, I said he's more the YouTube star, as more the technical advisor on the book, and Alan was happy to be interviewed for this article, this thing she was writing. And then I wrote her again and didn't CC Alan. I think I BCC'd you, maybe.
Yeah, I saw that.
And said, "You should listen to this podcast episode that I did with my friend Nima Vedati called 'What's Wrong with the Mainstream Media.' It's an episode of Freedom Fiends." And I sent her a link and said, you know, this is a guy who went to school like you did, you know, got two network TV news anchor jobs, you know, which she would love to get, I'm sure, out of J school. She's not even near graduating yet and hopes to get something like that. I can tell from her Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, and he walked away from two jobs like this to go be outside the mainstream media. And she wrote back and said, "Thank you very much. I'll give it a listen."
I hope she does, but she'll probably think we're insane once she does.
I know. I mean,
it's hard to break your paradigm when you're so thoroughly invested in the system.
Yeah.
If I would have heard that podcast when I was in J school, I would have thought, those people are ridiculous.
Tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
But it was really important to me. Like, I went to sleep after the exchange with her and Alan and I, and then I like woke up in the middle of the night because I had to send her that second email.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. I mean, I think that's important. At least somebody told her. At least when she looks back on it, she won't think, "I didn't know."
At least,
At least when she's standing before St. Peter being judged on libertarianism, she can't say, I didn't know about the word of God.
Right. There you go. There you go.
You know, that's one of the goals of a lot of like Christian missionaries and evangelists is literally they take an interpretation of part of the Bible that basically says, it's your duty to tell every single person on the earth about Christianity, because when they're judged, God doesn't want them to be able to, you know, claim ignorance. They have to be offered it and turn it down so they can go to hell.
Right. Ignorance of the word of God is no defense in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I found my
and we're doing that for liberty. That's our exactly. Bible thumping.
Exactly. I got my letter here. Yeah, if you want
read
me to
your letter read it. Sanitized with no company names in
I'll
it.
I'll mentally redact the names and the station.
I like on there's some well. There's some cartoon on Cartoon Network where it's Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
His paralegal is named Redacto. And he's like a Zulu warrior that shoots poison darts in people that the lawyer doesn't like.
Nice, nice.
He redacts the opposition.
There you go. All right.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
To blank, blank, blank communications and blank, blank, blank TV. This is notice that I will retire from local television news reporting and resign my position as a reporter for blank, blank, blank TV, effective blank, blank, blank. I first attempted to give notice of this action on a date, blank, blank, in a conference with blank and blank. After being advised of the amount of money blank would seek from me, I took some time to think and sought legal counsel. I am now firm in my intention to leave. This job makes me miserable for reasons that cannot be rectified. I have firmly held beliefs that any form of coercive government is morally wrong. While TV news may be quote-unquote unbiased in some sense, it is by nature biased towards the status quo. Quote-unquote public safety, in our parlance, refers to police and fire protection agencies. Yet I view them as violent gangs because they are funded with taxes, which I believe are a form of theft. In one of my stories, a woman who got her kids taken away by CPS lost them, quote-unquote, due to meth addiction. Not because a government agency granted a monopoly of force stole this poor woman's children, just because she possessed a politically incorrect substance. I often feel like a vegetarian working in a slaughterhouse, or perhaps a pacifist running a PR campaign for the military. This is the root of my trouble coming up with story ideas. I don't care about the same things as our viewers. I don't think in our quote-unquote brand. I've gone weeks without a good story idea, and on at least 2 work days was unable to come up with any usable idea for our newscast. It's also why I don't think I can fix it or quote-unquote remove the roadblock. I have pitched ideas I felt were both newsworthy and that I had no moral qualms about pursuing, but have had them shot down. Working here has caused me immense stress with no real payoff. My salary is barely above minimum wage, and I don't plan on continuing a career in this industry. I am at a time in my life where I need to start planning for my family. I need to get a new career path going and can't waste any more time being depressed, making little money, and failing to further my future. It is for these reasons that I am both unwilling and unable to continue my duties here at blank, blank, blank TV. I do apologize for any inconvenience due to the short notice, but again, I did make my desire to leave known in a meeting on blank, blank, which would have been 2 weeks' notice. Attaches a letter from my lawyer addressing the contract concerns, along with an additional legal precedent. I will never be happy or motivated working here, but I have no personal problems with anyone here at blank or blank, blank, blank TV, and wish everyone the best. Sincerely, Nima Vedati.
Wow.
So yeah,
that's awesome.
Pretty harsh, but I sort of negated any personal problems because I didn't. You know, I liked everybody there. They're all friendly. And while I don't agree with them and didn't want to work for them or be involved in that organization, I share no ill will towards them.
That's awesome. Did I help you write that?
No, I wrote it to you. You encouraged me, though. I wrote it when I couldn't sleep one night just because I couldn't bear the thought of going to work the next morning. And I just, you know.
Oh, I think I told you not to send it right away.
Yeah, you did. You told me to email it to you so you could read it and give me your thoughts. Actually, you told me, man, this is great. Are you sure you want to do this, though? And I was like, yeah, definitely. And I sent it off, you know, at like 1-2 in the morning, went to work the next day. I also CC'd my wife and she read it and she goes, are you insane? They're going to think you're a crazy person. And I'm like, good. Then they won't mind me leaving.
I know. That's one thing I thought, too, as well. How could they possibly want to keep you after that? And they did, didn't they?
They did, They wanted to keep me the whole time. This, might I add, was the third time I tried. No, this was after the third time. I tried to quit three times. And even after the third time.
That's the problem with being good in news, because it's so hard to get good people in news.
Yeah, yeah.
At that level. You know, it's probably not at like Fox or NBC national level. But at the local level. They get kids just out of J school who just want to file their story and go home and not work real hard. And and they think that's going to move them up to a bigger market. Like not working hard is going to move you up to a big. It might if you're blonde and pretty and perky enough. But
yeah, that's true. And that seems to be 80% of the game is being good looking enough. Which is why TV news is so devoid of actual content. But
the statoscope.
The other thing that really moves you up is doing the things that tell the narrative that the mainstream wants to have, because that's the kind of thing that news directors go, oh, that makes sense. That's in our quote unquote brand. And it's such a circular thing. You know, they go out and do these studies on what the viewers want, and the viewers are always over 50, very square, very statist, so they want statist stories. So then you have to do the statist stories. And so it sort of is this vicious cycle that feeds on itself, and it's hard to tell which came first, the people being dumb or the news stations dumbing everything down.
The dumb chickens or the dumb egg?
The dumb chickens or the dumb egg. Yeah, and you know, I don't think that that's really the point. You know, I don't think anybody will ever know which came first. But the point for me was I didn't feel like I could get ahead and do what I wanted to do. And everybody in there is struggling, just busting their butts to be, you know, the Washington, D.C. correspondent or the next person on CNN. You know, that's all their dream. Or to get to their hometown and be the anchor. And it's such a difficult, time-consuming, stressful job for such little pay that dream is really what your pay is. Is your pay is I'm working towards this dream. But that wasn't my dream. You know, I don't want to be such and such on CNN.
Your dream was to be Judge Napolitano or Stossel.
Right,
but
and
hipper.
Even then get fired. And even Napolitano gets fired and can't keep his job. Stossel still
you
has
say,
a job.
But even then I'd want to get fired. It was part of my dream.
Right, no. And the thing about Stossel is, you know, he got famous being sort of this liberal consumer advocate in the Ralph Nader type sense. That's when he got famous, when he was on 2020 and advocating for things like seatbelt laws and junk like that. And then he sort of had an awakening, but he was already such a voice that he'd already proven himself. So I think you can get in the system and get that high and then change your mind. But it seems almost impossible to me at this point to feel the way we do as anti-statist as I am and move up in the markets. Because when you go to the story meeting and you pitch something like police are harassing people, we have viewers saying it or people calling us saying this, and your news director says something like, you know, that's just people being upset. You know, our viewers, who are they going to really be sympathetic with, Nima? They're going to be sympathetic with the police. So you can't do that story. You know, when you hear things like that in newsroom meetings, it not only crushes your soul, but it really makes you think that in order to get ahead in this industry, I'm either going to have to sell out, which is not an option for me, or just get out and be in the quote-unquote new media, I guess, according to that little girl's paper.
Yeah, we're more into the narrow casting than the broadcasting, which brings up a thought. What do you think of having different taglines from time to time. You know, we were anti-war, pro-gun. Now we're there's no such thing as half free. I was thinking of this this thing that was something my friend Skip said. Freedom fiends, we don't want everyone to listen, but we might want you to listen.
I like it. I like it.
I'll change it for a while.
Cool. I don't know. I do want everyone to listen, though. You don't?
Nah, okay, you're right. I'll scratch that. Maybe I'll use that for the Anarcho Gumbo podcast.
Okay. How about it's not for squares?
It's not for squares. That's good. Although I'm sure there's some squares in Langley listening to us.
Yeah.
I was saying that last night when we were finishing up the podcast. I was finished up the other podcast with Ben. I said, well, I'm going to edit this and upload it. And I don't know if we'll have an audience, but I'm sure we'll have at least one listener. I do for everything I do these days. And he's in D.C.
They're keeping track of you, Michael. They're going to bring you up on charges.
Yeah. Nope. That's a formal syllogistic fallacy. Whatever happened to our fallacy today sequence, segments?
I don't know. We got too busy and couldn't research them all.
I know. We were too busy using them and crushing them at the same time. Right. Using them to crush them.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. I think we're at the end of our time here. You got anything else there, Nima Vidati, other than people should go last ditch effort, enter our contest to win a Freedom Fiends podcast by reviewing us on iTunes or reviewing the Guns and Weed movie on Amazon, then letting us know about it.
Win a Freedom Fiends calendar. We give the podcast out for free.
Yeah. Yep. All right, man.
Weapon Factory. 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 Weapon Factory.
To building weapons to destroy our future. What are we gonna do? Sit on our ass and spectate? To protest, to picket, have all day rallies. Yet the weapons keep on being made.
Weapon Factory. Factory. Weapon Factory. Weapon Factory. Weapon Factory. Weapon Factory. Weapon Factory.
Worms.
Peace.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I-O-E and that include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vidati weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.